If you have your Bibles today, turn to Psalm 19. We're just going to focus on that psalm today. Heavenly Father, we thank you that your word is living and active, that through it you speak to us, you bring us refreshment to our thirsty souls. I pray today that your Holy Spirit would work through your word as each person needs. Through Christ we pray. Amen. You know, the Word of God is so rich. Let's just focus. Listen to what God says today as we read Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the expanse proclaims the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they communicate knowledge. There is no speech. There are no words. Their voice is not heard. Their message has gone out to the whole earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens, he's pitched a tent for the sun. It's like a bridegroom coming from his home. It rejoices like an athlete running a course. It rises from one end of the heavens and circles to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are reliable, and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, than an abundance of pure gold, and sweeter than honey dripping from the comb. By the way, push the pause button for that. There's a sense in which that's kind of at the core of this whole psalm. And the challenge for me, as every time I read that, is, okay, Brett, theoretically, I believe that God's word is more desirable than gold, than pure gold. But in my actions, what I really believe. Oh God, help us to understand the preciousness of your word. There's going to come a time in eternity when we look back and see this world, I believe. And in that day, we're going to know what was really precious, most precious. And one of the things that we're going to say is much more precious than the biggest bank account that you can ever have is simply the Word of God. Having it, reading it, being guided by it. Verse 11, in addition, your servant is warned by them, and in keeping them, there is an abundant reward. Who perceives his unintentional sins? Cleanse me from my hidden faults. Moreover, your servant, keep your servant from willful sins. Do not let them rule me. Then I will be blameless and cleansed from blatant rebellion. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, Lord, my rock and my redeemer. C.S. Lewis described Psalm 19 saying, I take this to be the greatest psalm in the Psalter and one of the greatest lyrics in all the world. And I think that we would all agree. Lewis, of course, is an expert in literature, so he had a wiser perspective, more knowledgeable perspective than most. But in Psalm 19, it is such an exalted poem because it reveals to us not only God's existence, but his character, his will, and his plan for all of us through life. First, David reflects on God's revelation of himself through the sky and the stars. The heavens declare the glory of God. The expanse proclaims the work of his hand. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they communicate knowledge. There's no speech. There are no words where their voice is not heard. You know, I think about this. I love to think about this when I go for a walk. And I look up into the expanse. I look and see the clouds. I think of the depths of the sky above. And I just, you can hear the glory of the Lord. God, you are so great. You are so powerful. You spoke all of this into existence by a word, with a word. I love to think about this at night when I'm sitting outside and looking into the night sky and seeing the stars and thinking how long it took for the light to come from so many of those stars and so many of the stars that are even beyond our perception. Day after day, you look at the heavens and they declare God's glory. Glory is not just God's greatness. It's not just God's brilliance, but it's God's very character, his power, his trustworthiness. There's no place we can go to escape God speaking to us through his creation. Wherever we go, God is always speaking. Isn't that great? I mean, it's terrifying, of course, if you don't want him to speak. But it's wonderful if you want to hear him. It reminds me of, I'm reading recently in the Chronicles of Narnia, and in one of the books, I think it's the, I think it's the first one, the Magician's Nephew. They make it into this place that Aslan, the lion, is creating. It's like the world being created for the first, this world's being created for the first time. And with him, and with Diggory and Polly is the witch who's evil and his uncle who's also evil. And while on the one hand, Diggory and Polly love to hear the voice of the lion, the wicked witch, the evil uncle, run. In fact, she runs as far as she can to get away from it. And so it is with God's voice to us. Those who want to be close to him, those who have accepted him as Father, we want to get close. We love to be surrounded by his communication. But those who are walking in guilt, those who are walking in rebellion, they want to get away. It's also interesting, by the way, in that account, when Aslan speaks, those who love him, Polly and Diggory, they can hear his voice. It's a beautiful voice. It's a comforting voice. They understand his words. But for those who are wicked, the Diggory's uncle, for instance, he just sounds like a lion. The voice of Aslan just sounds like a beast. And so it is. For those who have a heart toward God, wherever you go, he is speaking and you hear him proclaim. But for those who are obtuse, for those who live in a sense of rebellion, they don't hear God. They aren't overwhelmed by his goodness and glory. The creation should fill us with awe, humble us, cause us to drop on our knees. What is your response to creation? Do you hear God speaking through his creation wherever you go? Or for you, is it just room noise? Next, David bursts into a song of thankfulness for God's law, verse 7. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. Here's the question. When you think of God's law, are you thankful for it like David? Oh, your law is perfect. It renews my life. Or is it just kind of a necessary evil that you endure? Your instinct toward God's law, is it love and attraction? God, I thank you for your truth and your direction. Or is it distance? Is it a desire for not to hear it? You know, while God's first revelation of himself was through creation, you see, God's second revelation of himself is through his word, and even more specifically, through the Old Testament law. Because the Old Testament law is much more than a list of impersonal rules that have to be followed. The Old Testament law is God's way of revealing his character to us. You want to know what love is? understand the Old Testament law. You want to understand what hate is? Understand the Old Testament law. It's popular today for many people to look at the Old Testament and say, ah, that's Old Testament. It doesn't apply to us anymore. That's so foolish. To say that is to say the Old Testament is just arbitrary list made by men. Oh no. David loves God's law because David loves God himself. And he sees God. He hears his goodness in the law. See, God has not left us a duty to simply obey rules. He has revealed himself through his creation and through his law. Verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. Again, the precepts of the Lord are right. How does that make you feel? Does it kind of like, yeah, I gotta obey him? Or like David, who said, hey, it makes the heart glad. I'm so thankful that I get to obey God's law, that God's given me these laws to obey so I can know him, but also so I can know my right, what is right for my life. Think about that. Even the world knows this to some degree. Think about this the next time you're watching a television show or a movie that seems to be morally neutral toward honesty or toward adultery, for instance. You know what happens when somebody commits adultery in a movie or in a television show? 99% of the time, you know it's not going to work out well. Even in movies and television, when people sin, no matter how glamorous, how exciting the sin looks in the commitment of it, you also know this is going to cause somebody pain. This is going to end up with some traumatic experience. See, David is right when he says, I love your law. It enlightens me. So I don't have to go through the negative consequences of sin. How valuable, again, do you see God's wisdom? Verse 10, they're more desirable than gold. Than an abundance of pure gold, sweeter than honey dripping from the honeycomb. Is that just hyperbole? You know, I'll be honest with you. There's a part of me instinctively is kind of like, okay, the law, I know I need to obey it because that's the right thing to do. But sweeter than honey, something that I desire and really gives me life. God wants so much good for us. The most important thing in life is to know him, the maker of our souls. How do we know that? By knowing scripture, even the Old Testament law. And God wants what's best for us. How can we know that? By knowing scripture and obeying scripture, even the moral law of the Old Testament revealed. Push the pause button, by the way. It's kind of sad that Bible reading has dropped dramatically did drop dramatically in 2022. Now, why is unclear, but I read that roughly 50% of American adults reported opening scripture at least 3 times a year for every year from 2011 to 2021, according to the American Bible Society. Now, that's not a particularly high bar for reading scripture, at least 3 times in a year. But in 2022, that number declined from 50% to 39%. More than half of Americans say they wish they read the Bible more. But we don't too often. Interesting, when people don't read the Bible, something within us still hungers for it. Like David saying, "I like honey in the comb." Something within us tells us that it is precious and nourishing. That same study, by the way, revealed that younger people in particular say that they want Bible reading plans and Bible studies that look at whole chapters of the Bible or complete stories in the Bible, not just partial. Amos chapter 8, verse 11, the prophet says, look, the days are coming. This is the declaration of the Lord God. When I will send a famine throughout the land, not a famine for bread or thirst for water, but of hearing the word of the Lord. I wonder if you feel that famine. I know there's a famine in the land right now for God's word, for God's truth, not because of wanting to know some information intellectually or some morals to be better people, but because it is through that word that we know our Creator. We're going to pick up there next time. Let me encourage you to read Psalm 19 and listen to what God says to know Him better and to love His word even more. Heavenly Father, again, to be able to see Your word with its full value, to desire to obey Your word because we want to walk closely with You. Lord, we confess our hunger, but also know that the hunger that we sense is really doesn't do justice to the depth of our need for You and Your word. So like the psalmist, may we love You and love Your word and obey You and obey Your word this day. Through Christ I pray. Amen. We'll pick up there next time.